we all have a responsibility to testify of God's greatness and God's goodness. And I want to testify of God's goodness to me. He's been faithful to me all the years that I gave my heart to him. And I believe he's done the same thing to each and every one of us. I would like for us to turn. We appreciate your prayers. We'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I want to begin reading. We're going to give special attention to the 18th verse. The brother was talking about thankful for what the Lord has done for him. And we're thankful for what the Lord has done for us as well. I want to start at the 16th verse here. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now, I want to give special attention, as we said, to the 18th verse. It says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the first thing that I want to bring to our mind is, we talked a little bit last Sunday about doing things according to the will of God. And when we pray according to the will of God, then the Lord hears us. Well, it is God's will that we give thanks in everything. So I want us to understand that this is bringing it about everything. It didn't just say some things, that the things that are beneficial, the things that are good, and then we thank God in those things. It said, but no, he said, the will of God is that you thank God for everything that happens to you. Now, when we take into consideration everything, what is a thing? A thing. How do you define a thing? Really, anything can be a thing, right? The bench is a thing. The chairs are a thing. We often say sometimes, you remember that thing that happened to us last? We can't bring it out in our mind, but define it as a thing because it's all inclusive. It doesn't leave anything out. And so when we take that into consideration, when it says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So that tells us that it doesn't matter what happens in our life. Doesn't matter if we in our own humanness perceive it as being something that is beneficial. Yes, I thank the Lord for that. And I praise the Lord for what he did for us. And we have much to be thankful for. But what happens when things happen to us and they are in the negative? They go against what mind says would be a beneficial thing to thank the Lord for. Somebody has a car accident. Do we thank the Lord for that? Yeah. The point, do we thank the Lord for just anything? We have a car accident, or we go, does the Lord allow those things to work together for our good? Let us go a little farther here. It's not necessarily that everything that happens to us is going to happen to us and it's a good thing that happens to us, but we're to thank the Lord. Lord, whatever it is that you're allowing to happen to me, you have a purpose and a reason for it. Romans the 8th chapter, 28th verse, very familiar text of scripture. We might read that. Romans 8 verse 28. If you have it, you can read it for us.
And we know.
Let's start at the 27th verse. I think that would be a good one. Let's start at the 27th and then go down.
And he that searches the heart
knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it brings it back to the will of God. It kind of follows along with what we talked about a little bit last Sunday. The will of God. It maketh intercessions for us according to the will of God. Then it speaks here in the 28th verse and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So it says here, in everything gives thanks, and it's talking about also all things work together. So the things that happen in our lives, the things that are good, the things that are bad, there is a working together according to God's own will and God's own purpose. That is why we can thank the Lord for the bad things that happen to us, for the things that are not that don't happen the way that we want them to happen, because it says all things work together. So in other words, it doesn't matter. These difficult things that are happening in our lives, the Lord uses those things as laborers for us. Yes. So they're working for us, working together for our good. So it says they work together for our good. It's much like this. We see a map, and nowadays we kind of have gotten out of the mindset of using maps, but I remember we did a lot of traveling, and I lived in Seattle for a while when we first got married, and then we moved to Oklahoma and Texas and whatnot. And my wife, her family was here in California. And so this was back 30-something years ago. And what we would do oftentimes, we get the big road atlases. All of us did that, didn't we? Get the road atlases, and we would map out the way that we wanted to come, depending on where we were going. All right? And we could see that whatever street, the street that we lived on, whether we were in Seattle, whether we were in Oklahoma, whether we were in Texas, whatever street that we were on, we could follow that road map from that point all the way to where we wanted to go. All right? And we could see, and looking over, we could see how all of these things work together. All these things matched up, all the streets. So here in this 34th Street, we can leave this driveway, and we can go to any place in the United States. Mm-hmm. All right? Because all of the roads are interconnected. We go out here to 34th, we can hit Elkhorn, go to Watt, and it'll take us almost anywhere else we want to go, right? We know where we want to go, basically because we can see the full picture. One of the things that I'm having a little struggle with here is we do everything by GPS now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm making a point here. We do everything by GPS now. And the thing that I know, I don't see how everything works, how everything, what's the word I'm trying to use? Matches up. So I live in Roseville, and how does that relate to Elk Grove as opposed to someplace else? And we got a big map. So we got a map, and we looked at all of these things, and we said, okay, this is where the church is. This is where the Hatleys live. This is where we live, and all these kinds of things. Now we can see how everything kind of works because we see the bigger picture. And now it's not this little GPS that I have on my phone that when I want to go someplace, I put in the address and it takes me there and turn right and 300 feet turn right, all those kind of things. I don't know how things match up because all I see is this little, the thing that I'm dealing with right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand where I'm going with this as well? Now when I see the big picture, I can look on the map and I can see all these things. I can go from here to here to here to here. I see how all that matches up. Now I understand how this relates to this over here and where San Francisco is in relation to Sacramento and where all these places are in relation to each other simply because I'm looking at the big picture, right? Now, if I can look at the big picture and I make a wrong turn, then it's okay because I'm looking at the map and it seems like it's a wrong turn, but we have this little app that's called Waze, right? Have you ever heard Waze? And what Waze tends to do, it tends to take you in a roundabout way that seems like it's completely out of the way, but it's taking you away from the traffic. If you don't want to be stopped in traffic, it tells you that there's a traffic jam right here and it's going to take you 30 minutes longer, but now we're going to take you out. We're going to go in completely the opposite direction. Then we're going to turn and we're going to go all the way around to get to that spot that you're wanting to go. Where, yes, the way you normally would go is a straight through way, but that's not the best way for you to go at this moment and at this point and at this point in your, at this time, right? So the Lord has that understanding as well. The Lord knows that there are going to be some things that happen in our lives that He allowed to take us way around in an opposite direction, seem like it has nothing to do with what we're dealing with right now. But the Lord knows that that's going to connect with another something, another circumstances, and that's going to allow that circumstance to happen, which is going to connect with another circumstance, and it's going to bring you right where God wants you to be. That's the will of God, right? Now, what we have to do, when we have to understand and we have to believe in our heart and in our minds, Lord, I believe that the way that you're taking me, your way is truly best. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I think. Your way is best. And I'm going to follow in the direction that you're taking me because I'm going to give thanksgiving for whatever that traffic jam there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give thanks for that because you said that everything gives thanks because this is the will of God, right? Yeah. So I tell the Lord, you have a purpose in it. Doesn't mean that we're thanking the Lord for a bad thing that's happening. We're thanking the Lord. Lord, you know, most of the things that I look at, when I see it, you know, people say, how are you doing today? Well, it's not so good. I say, it could be worse, right? So it doesn't matter what situation you're in. Have you heard the thought that somebody says, I was complaining about my shoes till I saw the man that didn't have any feet? Yeah, it doesn't matter what my shoes look like now because this man doesn't have any feet. He doesn't have the opportunity to complain about his shoes because he doesn't have anything to put them on. So you see what we have? We are pessimistic. We as a generation, doesn't matter what the weather is. If it's cold, it's too cold. And then when it's hot, it's too hot. When it's raining, when it's raining, oh, I'll be glad when this rain is gone. And then when it's dry, we'll be glad when we get some rain. We don't know what to do, when to do it, right? Lord, have mercy on us, because what we tend to do, we tend to complain about everything. What we need to learn how to do, Lord, thank you for the cold, because it's killing the mosquitoes. There's something in it to be wonderful, isn't it? It's killing all the bugs. And if it's not this cold, in the summertime, we're going to have a problem with bugs, right? Well, that's what we do. That's what we did in Texas. And we were glad for the cold weather. It killed out all the insects that were pests, right? And so in the same way, we have something to be thankful for. Well, it's raining. Well, it's raining too much. It doesn't matter. Well, it's going to fill up all of the reservoirs, and we're going to have something to drink. Find something to be thankful for. There is something in every situation, in everything, in all things, in everything, there is something that you can say, Lord, I had this accident, but I thank you that I'm not hurt. I thank you that it's not worse than it could have been. Well, you get a worse accident, it could have been even worse. Doesn't matter how bad it is, it could have been worse. Right? Lord, help us. In everything, give thanks. It's comprehensive. So when we talk about a thing, it's comprehensive, it's all-inclusive, it doesn't matter. It didn't say the good things are going to work together for your good. It didn't say the good things is what you give thanks to the Lord for. It says in everything. It says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Now, so we see that they're all interrelated, interconnected. When it says all things work together, God is leading your life. God is the one that is orchestrating your life. If you'll allow Him to lead you, He'll do that. He'll lead you. He'll direct you in the path that He wants to go. And it doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how bad it seems to be. The Lord works all of that out according to His will and to His plan. Now, I hate to use myself as an example, but I want to say that. I want to say the things that the problems that we were going through prior to my getting here, and we're going to go through some more problems we have, but life is not without problems. But you were praying. And you didn't know that there was this little place over in Dallas that was connected to Sacramento in some kind of a way, did you? No, but the Lord knew it. And so as you pray, as you seek the Lord, as you ask the Lord for certain things, the Lord knows how to answer that, and you're to thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for just a few of us being here today. We thank you for that. We thank you, dear Lord, because this is enough for us to build on. This is the stepping stone for what you want to do. Well, Lord, I wish I was 20 years long younger. All of us wish we were 20 years long younger, don't we? But we're not. So the Lord can take our experience and the things that we've had, the things that we've done in times past, the Lord can take that experience, and that's the stepping ground, the foundation of where the Lord wants to launch us from here, right? So don't complain about how old you are and what you can't do anymore and all these other kind of things. You thank the Lord for what you can do. You have your health. You have your strength. Let me tell you, you can go into a nursing home. You can almost pick any nursing home here and you can see people that are there that are your age.
Younger.
And younger. All of our ages. And they're not getting around. They're confined to a bed. Thankful, oh, you have a little ache and pain here. Thank the Lord. Amen. You can't remember like you used to. And oh, thank the Lord, I can remember what I can. In everything. Give thanks in everything. But Lord, it seems like I'm losing my mobility. Well, at least you still got some of it. Thank the Lord for what I got. Stop looking at the bad side of things. Stop looking at the negative side of your life. Look at, Lord, help me to be a little bit more positive. Just give me the positivity that I need. All of us have something to complain about. I don't know that there's anybody here that has more money than they can use. Maybe there is. Let me know, because I can tell you what to do. But we still need some things done here at the church. If you got more than you can use, let me know, because I can use it for you, all right? But all of us, it would probably be nice. Well, if I had a few more dollars, I could do this, I can do that. Well, don't worry about you not having a few more dollars. You worry about doing what the Lord wants you to do with the dollars that you have. Right? So it may not be that you can do very much, but you can do something. Well, it may not be that you can buy all the things that you want to buy and all that, but you can help somebody in some kind of a way. Lord, help us.
Yes.
All right. All right, let's go a little farther here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and I want to start reading at the 15th verse. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15.
knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus,
yes,
shall raise up us also,
yes,
by Jesus, and shall present us with you,
yes.
For all things are for your sakes.
This is 2 Corinthians, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
4 and 15. Okay.
For all things are for your sake.
Yes.
That the abundant grace might through the
thanksgiving
of many
redound to the glory of God.
For which cause
we faint not.
But though our outward man perish,
yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And we can see that every day, can't we? I don't believe there's anybody that can look in the mirror and say, I look exactly like I did 20 years ago. No one can say that, right? And then when you look back on the pictures that you said 20 years ago, then you realize that, oh, well, I looked so young back then. I had all my hair back then. I didn't have as much gray or whatever it was that you looked 20 years ago, you don't look that way today, do you? You see a few more wrinkles. You see a few more gray hair. You see maybe a few more pounds that are more difficult to get off than it was when you could eat anything and just walk it off. You can't do that anymore, can you? Lord, help us. So what does it say? Is that though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we see the outward man perishing on a day-by-day basis, but is the inward man renewing day by day? Lord, help us. This is why we come to service. One of the reasons that we come to service is, Lord, I want you to help me on the inside. I don't know when it's going to be my last day. And I want to be right with you whenever that day comes. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be next year, 10 years from now. We don't know. But whatever it is, I want my inner man to get renewed day by day. And I'm doing everything in my power to make that happen. All right, read, please.
For our light affliction.
Our light afflictions. Now, let's talk about that for a moment. Our light affliction,
which is but for a moment,
worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which... Now, I want you to notice the word that we're talking about in every... thing, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us, all right? So while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've got two separate kinds of things that we can look at, right? One is temporal, which means it's of the world, and then the other one is eternal, which means it's of another world, right? And so we can give thanks to God for the things that we see and the things that we don't see, right? One of the things that we can thank the Lord for is the things that are happening to us or the Lord has an eternal purpose for them.
Yes.
It's not just a temporal purpose. We look at it from this standpoint. It was one scripture that David said it was good for him to have been afflicted because before he was afflicted, he went astray. So, you know, the Lord allows things to happen to us in our bodies, afflictions. And he says, these are light afflictions, which are but for a moment. So they're light afflictions. It doesn't matter. Oh, they're suffering and they've been suffering for years. It's a light affliction and it is but for a moment. All right. So that means it is not going to last for a long time. It's but for a moment. Now, when we take 10 years, 15 years or 50 years of being in a... battle of affliction, it's not easy. It's not easy to watch somebody that's in a battle of affliction. But when you put that 15 years or 50 years or whatever you want to say, however long that person was going through that difficulty in that difficult place, when you put it in the light of eternity, it is just a moment. When you look at your life, there are some here that are 90 and pushing 90 and in their 80s and their 70s and whatnot. But when you put your life up against eternity, it is just a moment.
Yes.
Just a moment. Well, he's lived a ripe old age. She was 97. She was 103 when she died. But in the light of eternity, it's just a moment. Now, to us looking on, it's more than that. It's more than a moment. But when you go and get into eternity, and it's all of this is why it makes sense for you to live for the Lord. Because it doesn't matter how much fun you have. Just think about it. The fun that we had when we were in our 20s, whether you were saved or not. The things that mattered to you when you were a teenager or when you were 10 years old, do they matter to you now? Does it really matter if somebody calls you a name or lick out their tongue at you? But it matters when you were 10, didn't it? And management, that's not, they're not my friend, and I'm not going to be their friend, and somebody pulls your hair and all this kind of thing. That doesn't have the same effect on you today that it had on you when you were 10 years old, right? All right, now, in the same way, when you were 20 years old, go back that much time. When you were 20 years old, the things that were very important to you back then, are they important to you now? No, they aren't. So in each course of life, in each stage of our lives, things become more or less important, right? What's most important now? You know what's most important to me now than it ever has been? Of course, I've been saved for a long time, but you know the most important thing to me now is that I don't know. You know, I'm almost 57 in a few days, and I'm almost 57. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that there are little things, you feel a little pain in your heart. You feel a little pain here, feel a little pain here. And then all of a sudden you think, I'm getting old. And you know what? And I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, a lot of the people, and it's cute to hear you guys, you all say, oh, the old time saints, and you don't realize you're older than all the old time saints that you were talking about. Most of you outlived Brother Chandler. I think he was in his 50s or early 60s when he died, right? He was 59. So probably almost everybody in here is pretty close. They are older now. Now, who's the old time saints? You know, who's going to be talking about the old time? You're the old time saints. You're the ones. And our responsibility is to do what we can for those that are coming on, isn't it? For us to pave the way, make certain that they see it and they understand that, you know what, if old sister Beverly can do it, I can do it too. And if Brother Hadley can do it, I can do it too. If he can be faithful to the Lord, Brother Randall can do it, I can do it too by the help and the grace of God. Saints, we're looking at you. They're looking at us. Yeah. Right? We've got to do, Lord, help me to be thankful for what I've got. Help me to be thankful for the strength, the help, the ability in my mind that I still have my mind. You know, we talk about having senior moments, right? I have them. And I'm one of the younger ones here, right? I have senior moments all the time. I was telling Kim, she had bought some shaving cream for me. And I said, Kim, where is that that you bought? And I couldn't think of the name. And so I started just making the noise and making the pantomiming. And then all of a sudden it comes to my mind. Well, I'm younger than you are, right? The majority of you here. I'm younger than you. I have those senior moments. Thank the Lord I still got my mind. Thank the Lord that I eventually can remember what it is that I'm talking about. I can eventually remember. I thank the Lord for that. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Lord, yes, maybe my mind isn't as sharp and as crisp as it once was, but at least I still got it. At least I still have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. All right, so what is it? It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Now, how can you look at something you can't see? You can look at it with the eye of faith. I cannot see how this is going to be beneficial to me. It seems like my whole life, my whole world has just caved in on me. And I don't see the benefit of it at all. I don't see it. I can't see it. I remember my sister was dying, literally. And she had pancreatic cancer. And I was trying, you know, and sometimes you give these scriptures that sound like cliches. And she was a person that loved life, and she was vibrant and all this, and she was the life of the party. It didn't really matter. Anybody in the room, you were going to know where Shirley was, all right? She was that kind of a person, but she was dying. And I said to her, I said, all things work together for good. I know that it doesn't seem like, she said, I don't see any benefit out of what I'm going through. She said, I tried to do unto others as that you would have them. And she did. She was a very nice, sociable, outgoing girl, but she wasn't always saved. She kind of had an experience that wasn't stable. And so, but she had lived, say, quite a bit of her life, some portion of her life. I don't want to say the majority of it, but some portion of her life. And now she comes down to the end of her life, and she knows that they're giving her just a few more months to live. And she said, I don't see Daryl, I don't see. I wanted to be there with her while she was going through the process. So we left and we stayed a few weeks with her. And I just wanted her, while she was in the hospital room, I wanted her to see, when she opened her eyes, I wanted her to see somebody that loved her. And somebody that she loved. I never wanted her to be by herself because I know it was in. She said, I don't see any benefit to this whatsoever. I said, Shirley, listen, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe if this cancer had not come upon you like this, and the Lord, it wasn't some quick accident, it wasn't something that you died all of a sudden. I said, do you think that you would be living for the Lord right now? Do you think you would really be saved if this had not happened? And she thought for a moment. She was one of those who had a husband and he left her, and she always wanted to be married. Well, the way that we taught was, and I believe the way the scripture teaches, that she couldn't get another husband. And so she lived probably, I think they were married for a year, really, roughly a year. And they broke up and they tried, well, here, telling everybody's business, she's gone and she wouldn't mind because she told it herself. But that was one of her struggles down through the years, right? It was down through the years that it was a struggle for years and years and years. And so I said, do you think that you would be saved today if it were not for this cancer? And she thought for a moment and she said, no. I would probably be doing what I wanted, just out there doing whatever I wanted to do. I said, well, that's the good. That's the benefit of this. That's where you can give thanks, where all these things are working together for the good. Because ultimately, when you think about eternity, eternity is a very long time. And it's a very long time for you to trade it for a man. Or a woman. Or anything.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what it is. It's a very long time. It's just but for a moment. And you had this pleasure for a moment. And then all of a sudden, you go out into eternity, and that moment is gone, and now you've got all of eternity regretted. Don't do it. It doesn't make sense, does it?
That's true.
So where's the benefit in all this pain that you're going through, and all this heartache that you're going through right now? What's the benefit? The benefit is it prepared you for heaven. And the reason she's in heaven today is because she had pancreatic cancer. And I'll say that until the day that I die. It's because she had pancreatic cancer and she allowed that to work together for her good. She didn't get bitter at the Lord. She didn't get bitter at Him. She had enough sense not to do that. Now, I know people that have gotten bitter. Why did you let this happen to me? She battled that. She battled it for a while. She battled, well, Lord, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. The Lord knows how to get you to heaven. He knows what's best for you.
Yes.
He knows what you need, even if you don't know what you need. You've got to give thanks for the things that you don't want to give thanks for. That's counterintuitive. That when you say in your mind, Lord, I'm going to thank you for this anyway, even though in my mind it makes no sense for me to give thanks for this thing that is horrible, that's horribly happening to me, Lord, I'm going to give thanks for it anyway.
Amen.
And everything. Because all of these things, when you look at God's map, where He's looking down from heaven, when you look at God's map, this is leading you to this situation, this is leading you to this road, and when you get on that road, you're going to meet a person, and they're going to have some input to get you on another road, and before you know it, you're on the road to heaven.
Yes.
So be thankful for it.
Yes.
Be thankful for it. All right? So, light affliction. You're going to have afflictions. You're going to have things that you're going through. Are you going through something hard now? Does it just seem like it's just more than what you can bear? Me too. I go through them too. Maybe not today. I'm not in one. But wait till tomorrow or next week or next year or next month. But when I put it in light of eternity, it's a light affliction. I'm not going to trade a few pleasures that you can have here on this side of eternity.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go and I'm going to be in hell for the rest of eternity. And it's not like going to, this brother worked in a prison. It's not like I'm going to get out in 50 years or I'm going to die. It doesn't matter. No, you cannot get out. So what is my point? My point is, let's maintain. Let's be thankful for what the Lord takes us through. All right, there's a lot more. It doesn't seem like we're going to get through this whole message here today, but I feel like there was one place where Jonah, let's turn to Jonah. I'm going to read go a little quicker here. Eighth verse, second chapter. Now we understand that Jonah, we know the story of Jonah for the sake of time. We won't go into it. But Jonah got down into the belly of the whale. They threw him overboard. And in the seventh verse, let's start at the seventh verse. Jonah 2 and 7.
When my soul
fainted within me,
I remembered the Lord,
and my prayer came in unto thee,
into thine holy temple. They that observe
lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
But I will sacrifice
unto thee
with the voice of thanksgiving.
I will pay that I have vowed.
Salvation
is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now here's what I want us to bring out. Jonah was going in the complete opposite direction of what the Lord told him to go in, right? Complete opposite direction. We heard a little bit about that. Someone brought that out in our Sunday school lesson this morning. He was going in the opposite direction of what the Lord wanted him to go in. And now the Lord had prepared a fish for him when they threw him overboard. Now this man is down in the mountains. If you read it, he's down in the lower depths of the sea. There's no lower that you can go. No place on the earth that you can go lower than what Jonah went, right? Down in the depths of the sea. And at that particular time, what did he do? He offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What did he have to be thankful for? What did he have to be thankful for? Well, he's down in the belly of a fish. And the Lord had prepared this fish. There ain't no lights in the fish that I'm aware of. All right? No lights there. No food there. He was there for how many days? 3 days? 3 days, 3 nights, he was there in the belly of the fish. Now, what is he doing? He can say, Lord, I thank you that you didn't destroy me, that you didn't kill me. There's a lot to be thankful for, isn't there? I thank you, Lord, that this fish did not digest me. I thank you for the breath that you still give him. And then he said, I've got all these things to be thankful for. He started counting his blessings. And when he started counting his blessings, the Lord allowed that fish to vomit him up. Saints, there, no matter how low it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how deep it goes, no matter how much pain you're in or how suffocating it may feel. And me, it may have felt suffocating. I don't know that he was walking around in the fish. I don't know what was happening. Was he laying down? Was he squashed? What was happening? I don't know what was happening, but I do know he was at the lowest point of his life. He was in a suffocating situation. He was in a dark place. He was at the lowest place on the face of the earth. And yet, he gave thanks to God. Right there, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. In everything, this is the will of God. In everything, give thanks. Lord, you could have destroyed me. I deserved it.
Yes.
Now, I wonder if he hadn't done that. If he hadn't been thankful, found a way, Lord, embittered. Lord, just take my life. If he was just embittered at the Lord when he went to Nineveh. You notice when he vomited it out, and the Lord told him, all right, the Lord did not change what his desire was for Jonah. He said the same words, now go to Nineveh, but like I told you in the first. You remember how our mothers used to do that? Now go do what I told you to do. And we have to go running doing what he told us to do because we understand that that was the best way to do it. So in your darkest time, what's the point? What's the moral to this lesson? In your darkest point, when you squeeze, when you're suffocating, when it's the lowest point in your life, yes, find something to thank God for. And God will make a way. Yes. Now, suppose he hadn't done it in a few days, then maybe that fish would have digested him. Maybe had some different kind of a meal. I don't know. But at your darkest time, you thank God, and God will make a way for you. And let me tell you, that fish swam all the way back over to the shore, probably pushed him, vomited him out right a few miles from Nineveh. Lord, help us. And see what the Lord did? You see how that worked together? And that worked together to save a whole city.
Yes.
Lord, help us. All right, I'm going to go a little farther here. Daniel 6, verse 5. I've got a couple other scriptures that I'd like to get to, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to get to the end of what the Lord has given us
here
Daniel today.
Daniel 6 and 5.
Yes.
Then said these men...
Yes. Okay, read it, please. Yeah.
Then said these men,
we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever.
All the presidents.
Yes. Presidents of the kingdoms, the governors, princes, counselors, captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree
and
sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.
Wherefore,
King Darius signed the writing and the decree. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed,
he went
into his house,
and his windows
being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled up on his knees
three times a day
and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. So nothing changed here. Now he understood that there was a conspiracy that was going out against him and these individuals, because he was preferred above all the other kings and princes and whatnot, and they were trying to bring him down. Isn't that something like, you know, sometimes we're like crabs in a bucket, like they say. One crawls up to the top, the rest of them want to get him and pull him back down. That's human nature, isn't it? So they don't want him having preeminence over them or to be better than them. So they're going to do whatever it takes to eliminate that. So here is Daniel. Rather than Daniel, oh, you need to use some wisdom. That's what we would say. Daniel, just close your windows. You can keep doing it. But Daniel did exactly what he did and what he said. Now you say, oh, the same. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We're preaching thousands of years after Daniel did it. We're preaching about Daniel. And if Daniel recanted and just done something that was safe, then we wouldn't be preaching about him today. He would not have the effect on our lives that he had back then. You see how all that's working together? How down through the annals of time, through the map of time, as you'll see that comes all the way down, that what he did then affects me now. That thing that he did. He offered thanksgiving to the Lord after he knew it was signed. Lord, I thank you. And I'm going to do it just like I've always done. This is what I've always done. So they understood that there was only way to get Daniel was through his God. All right? So may the Lord help us to understand that even under the threat of persecution, even under the threat of something terrible happening to us, we still thank the Lord for what he's done, for what he's doing in our life, and what he's going to do in our life. The Lord has the ability to change things, to take things. And then what happened? They threw him in the lion's den. And was that not a greater testimony to all of them than anything else that Daniel could have done? Because he gave thanks to the Lord had the way that all of these things were working together for his good. All of these things, all of him praying, all of them making this decree, all of them being jealous of him. And then what happened? He went down and they threw him in the lion's den and he sat there and used him as a pillow. Isn't that wonderful? And then all of the ones that were against him, you don't have to fight your battles. The Lord will fight your battles for you. People that hate you, you give thanks to the Lord for them. Lord, just help me to live right. Help me to show them love that I need to show them. And what happened? The Lord got rid of all of his enemies, didn't he? All the ones that made the decree, what did they do? They threw them in the lion's den and they were no more. But do you see how the Lord will take care of his own saints? You see that? All right, a couple other scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 15. 36, and someone get a 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. Matthew 15 and 36.
And he took the seven loaves.
He took the seven loaves.
And the fishes.
And,
gave thanks.
And break them.
And gave to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat.
And were filled.
They took up the broken meat that was left.
Seven baskets full.
And they that did eat were 4,000 men
besides women and children. Let me tell y'all something. We talked a little bit earlier about money. You should thank the Lord for what you do have. And you should pray for what you have and ask the Lord to stretch it. Do you realize that you hear the stories about the old time saints and what they did, but you know the Lord wants to do something for us too.
Amen.
There have been many times that I was wondering how did this money stretch that far? Mm-hmm. We gave thanks to the Lord for what he had, for what we had. I've been in situations where we thought we're going into a situation, we have no money to do anything about it, but that's never frightened me before. And so let's step forward and see what the Lord said. Don't go beyond what the Lord tells you to do, because you get yourself in trouble. But when you feel inspired by the Lord to do a particular thing, you give thanks for the little bit that you've got. Let's give thanks for the little bit that we have here in Sacramento. Yeah. Let's thank the Lord for the little few that we have here. And ask the Lord, Lord, would you bless this little congregation? Would you have mercy on us, Lord? Would you add to it such as should be saved according to your will? It's not that we want to have this big, grand whatever. That's beside the point. If you just want 3 more people saved, that's okay with us. Success does not depend upon what the world, how the world defines it. It depends on how God defines it. But there are people right here in this place that God wants to save. And what are we going to do? We're to thank the Lord. We're not to complain. Well, you know what? They just got a few folks over there on 34th Street. That's okay. That's enough. We got 2 or 3. That meets the criteria that the Lord requires to be in our midst, doesn't it? Thank the Lord for the little money you have. Thank the Lord for the little raggedy car you got. Thank the Lord for the house that's not really the house that you want to have. Thank the Lord for it. If you're not thankful for that, you're not going to be thankful when the Lord gives you something better. So he had 7 loaves and how many fish? Just a few fish. 5 fish and 7 loaves or whatever it was. And he took it and the Lord blessed it. Thank God for it. I'm thankful for it. And he broke it off. And do you know what happened? After that, people followed him because that was the best food they'd ever tasted. You know when it's been touched by the Lord's hands? Oh, the flavor just went all the way through it. And then what they were trying, and the Lord said in one place, he said to him, he said, you're not coming, you're coming after me for the fishes and the loaves. Because you ate of the fish and the loaves and you were filled. You're not really interested. But you know what? People will go, they'll travel for good food. They'll travel a distance for good food, won't they? Lord help us. All right, one more scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Thank you for your patience. You know, went a little bit longer than I normally like to go. But I want to read this.
2 Thessalonians 2 and 14.
13?
13. But we are bound, to give thanks always to God for you,
brethren
beloved of the Lord,
because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit
and belief of the truth.
We are bound. Now, you know, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. We're bound to do it. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm going to read the Amplified Version. It says, we ought and are obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks. We ought and we're obligated. We're obligated to give the Lord thanks for what he's done for us. Mm-hmm. We have something to be thankful for. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how bad it is. Are you as bad as Jonah? Are you going through those kinds of things? Are you at the deepest point in your life? Give thanks to the Lord. It could be worse. I don't see, Brother Darrell, I don't see how it could be worse. No, you don't. But it could be.
Yes.
You know what? What made us, I believe, I've been to many countries. And I've been to many places all over the world. And I honestly believe that America is the best nation. Now, the enemy's trying to tear us up. I do know that. He's trying to tear us up, but it's the best nation in the world. And that's why people look up to us. And we have, and what made us be born here as opposed to a third world country? It's just random selection. It's the mercy of the Lord. So you know what? Even if we're homeless people, I've seen homeless people in India, and they are much worse than homeless people here. I've seen people that don't have, and the people there are poor, and they don't have to give to them. And they have much worse lives than what the people here have. But we have something to be thankful for, don't we? Doesn't matter what it is. If you tend to get more when you're thankful for what you have. Now, you know what? When you thank the Lord for what he's given you, he'll give you more. Have you ever given somebody something and they didn't even say thank you? They did not say thank you. How likely are you going to do you to give them something else? You're not going to be that likely to give them something else because they weren't thankful for what you did give them. May the Lord help us to be thankful. What he says in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything, give thanks. Pray for me. Let us stand and have a number. There may be someone that has a desire to pray.